Days at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports for Friday's show. I guess you might say my cup runneth over with FIFA World Cup football qualifying matches. They're being played across Africa this weekend as teams begin their quest to book a ticket to the 2026 World Cup, which will be held in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. There were 8 qualifiers in Africa on Thursday. The most lopsided result was in Cairo, where the pharaohs of Egypt sank the shoremen of the Red Sea of Djibouti 6-0. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Mohamed Salah, who carried his goal-scoring spree from Liverpool to Cairo. Salah scored 4 goals in the match. He's also been netting his share of goals in the English Premier League. Salah currently has 10 goals in the EPL, putting him 3 behind Erling Haaland of Manchester City. In Thursday's other African World Cup qualifying results, Burundi beat Gambia 3-2 in a match played in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. Mozambique scored a 3-2 road victory against Botswana in Francistown. Sudan and Togo drew 1-1 in Benghazi, Libya. Host Gabon beat Kenya 2-1 in Franceville. Algeria defeated visiting Somalia 3-1 in Algiers. Cape Verde and visiting Angola played to a scoreless draw in Praia. And host Nigeria drew 1-1 with Lesotho in Uyo. Iron Mike Mbonye filed this post-match report from Uyo.
Nigeria's national men's football team, also known as the Super Eagles, drew 1-1 with the Crocodiles of Lesotho in a qualifying game for the 2026 World Cup. The Group C game was played at the Godswill Akpabio Stadium in Uyo. The Super Eagles dominated the first half of the game and missed several scoring chances they created. Super Eagles and Nottingham Forest forward Taiwo Awoniyi missed what should have been Nigeria's first goal in the 25th minute after Lesotho keeper Sokoane Morene was displaced. Motnomela Makwanazi scored for Lesotho in the 55th minute when he headed in a corner kick. Semi Ajayi equalized for Nigeria in the 66th minute when he nodded in a corner kick taken by Kelechi Iheanacho. The Super Eagles mounted pressure to get the winning goal, but keeper Sokoane Morene of Lesotho saved several goal-bound shots. Leslie Notsi is the head coach of Lesotho national men's football team.
The game was tough. We were expecting a tough encounter, like I said, playing against one of the best teams in the continent. But we just told ourselves that coming here, we need to have a self-belief and work as a team, as a group. And we did that. So I think it came like that. And there is a lot of improvement within our team setup. So we really look happy that we got a point from the best team, you know, in Africa.
Notsi says, despite getting a point from the game, there is much work to do for the remaining games in the group. Jose Peseiro, head coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria, says he's not impressed with the performance of his team.
76% the ball possession against 24. Many opportunity for score. Many goals for do. The opponent shoot 2 times in our goal and score 1 goal. Okay, I am sad. I am sad, of course. I am not happy. Disappointed also. But my team tried to do the maximum, okay? Okay, I'm sad because of the result, but about the performance.
Peseiro says the team will work hard to win its remaining games. Chris Emenyonu, an African football analyst, says the Super Eagles were overconfident coming into the game against Lesotho.
Somewhat of something not expected. Everyone thought Super Eagles were going to beat Lesotho. But as it stands, it does look like the players were a little bit lackluster and overconfident coming into the game. They didn't look like they took the game so serious when he started until maybe the latter stages of the first half. Chances fell kindly for Ademola Lookman, but couldn't take them. It was not just clinical enough in front of goal.
The Super Eagles will play against Zimbabwe in their next Group C game on Sunday. The game will be played in Rwanda. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Ayo Mike Mbonye in Uyo, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Ibrahim Musa Guso, President of the Nigerian Football Federation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Pro boxing, Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk will fight for the undisputed World Heavyweight Championship in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia on February 17th. Fury and Usyk faced off and butted heads in London to promote their bout. And with Hollywood star Sylvester Stallone of Rocky fame standing close by, Fury did most of the trash talking and promised to beat Usyk.
I'm going to bust him. Sausage, ugly little man, rabbit. Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run. I don't want a more. You know what's coming. You're getting smashed to pieces, sausage. You're fighting the best British heavyweight there's ever been. You beat all the rest of them, but you ain't beat Tyson Fury yet, sausage. Look at him, his heart's pounding now. Little sausage.
I don't want to speak. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you so much, everybody, people. I more speak in the ring.
In the ring, Alexander Usyk has won the WBA, WBO, IBF, and IBO title belts. Fury is the WBC world champion. Both have unbeaten records. Fury is coming off a controversial split decision win against Cameroonian fighter Francis Ngannou in a non-title bout in Saudi Arabia on October 28th. Ngannou's performance has made him one of the biggest sports heroes in Cameroon. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, Moki Edwin Kinzaka reports from Yaoundé, Cameroon. Good day, Moki.
Good day, Sonny Young, and welcome to Cameroon. Hundreds of fans sang Cameroon's national anthem at Terre Rouge, a neighborhood in the capital Yaoundé, to encourage Francis Ngannou in his boxing debut in Riyadh. Ngannou was born to a poor family in Cameroon 37 years ago and is known here as a brave boy who, at 10 years of age, started working in a sanctuary to raise money and provide food for his mother and siblings. Local media, including Cameroon's state broadcaster CRTV, report that Ngannou was approached by several gangs to join them. Cameroon police say Ngannou has no criminal record. Almost all popular spots in Yaoundé, the economic hub Douala, and several towns and villages were full with cheering crowds that turned out to watch Ngannou, their Tyson Fury, who has held the World Boxing Council WBC heavyweight title since 2020. The unified heavyweight titles from 2015 to 2016 and the Ring magazine title twice between 2015 and 2022. There was more cheering in the third round when Ngannou's overhead left caught Fury heavily and he tumbled. The fans held their breath until the end of the 10th round, expecting Ngannou to be declared victor, but that was never the case. Cameroonians generally expressed disappointment with the jury's decision to award Fury the victory of the bout against Ngannou, with many claiming the former UFC world heavyweight was robbed of his boxing debut in Riyadh.
Francis Ngannou was steady, swift, very, very determined in the punches, and he didn't rush on anything. If you saw at one point in time, Tyson Fury wanted to prove strong by attacking and attacking and attacking, but Francis Ngannou, in his defensive manner and in, you know, so much knowledge when it comes to fighting, he was able to bring Tyson Fury down to his knee. I'm sure Tyson Fury was thinking that he will come and meet somebody who have no knowledge of boxing, since the person is coming from the mixed martial arts background, but he was proven wrong.
Even somebody that was watching a boxing fight for the first time with another guy who won, but there's more to that. The boxing world is a world that has to do with the judges, has to do with investors, stakeholders, and that's where Tyson wins the fight, because an amateur can't just come and put down the world champion.
Two judges gave Fury the fight by scores of 96-93 and 95-94, and the other judge favoring Ngannou 95-94. Notwithstanding, fans and supporters saying Ngannou has a bright future as he fights with fire and purpose after carving out an impressive career in the brutal world of mixed martial arts, which saw him become an admired UFC heavyweight champion. 47-year-old businessman Neba Emmanuel is an admirer of Ngannou.
I think that for Ngannou, the performance is very grateful for his first fight in heavyweight champion in the world. Now, I believe that in the future, he will do better than this. Fury has been the world champion for more than 10 years. I believe that Fury has met somebody that can challenge him. From this fight, I think that we'll do better, so that maybe next time when they meet again, we'll love to see better fight. Because Ngannou has taken the lead.
But who is this Ngannou? At the age of 26, Ngannou left Cameroon to chase his dreams in Europe. He had to cross the Sahara Desert, sometimes in the back of smuggler's truck and many times by foot. Ngannou's family says he left from Cameroon to Nigeria, Niger, Algeria, and then to Morocco. He tried to cross to Europe close to a dozen times but failed. Ngannou finally got to Spanish waters and was picked up by a Red Cross boat. After 2 months in Spanish prison, he was given refugee status and freed. Ngannou made his way to Paris and joined a fighting gym. He is now looked upon as an example of resilience, hard work, and determination to be emulated by Cameroonians. He has set up a Francis Ngannou Foundation that he personally funds. Ngannou says his foundation is to impact the lives of desperate youths who have dreams but lack means of achieving their plans. His patriotism towards Cameroon has been congratulated several times by the Central African States government officials, including President Paul Biya. Each time there is an event out of Cameroon, Ngannou shows up with the green, red, yellow Cameroon flag as a sign of love for his country. Observers say his popularity is almost beating that of legendary Cameroonian football star Samuel Eto'o, who is today president of the Cameroon Football Federation, FECAFOOT. Many youths say they expect Ngannou to come to Cameroon anytime he is free and not only teach but motivate them to become future champions. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Moki Edwin Kinzuka in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. That's Heather Maxwell, the host of Music Time in Africa, the voice of America's longest-running English-language program. Music Time in Africa was founded in 1965 by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkeesian. In fact, the Voice of America's English to Africa service celebrated its 60th anniversary earlier this year. So Music Time has certainly been a big part of English to Africa's history, founded just 2 years after the first broadcast in English to Africa. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us once again with another spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sonny. We begin the wrap of Africa sport news with Mali recorded an emphatic 5-1 win over Canada to secure their spot in the FIFA Under-17 World Cup knockout phase currently taking place in Indonesia. The Finnish runners-up to Spain in Group B, while Canada have been eliminated after failing to pick up a point. Mali will now face the runners-up from Group F in the last 16 clash in Surabaya on Tuesday. Another African side, Morocco, beat Indonesia 3-1 in Surabaya to secure top spot in Group A and leave the host facing elimination. The result leaves Indonesia in third spot with 2 points, and they hold only a slim hope of qualifying as one of the four best third place teams. Staying with football news, Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa were crowned champions of the inaugural edition of the African Football League on Sunday at the Loftus Versfeld Stadium in Pretoria after seeing off Wydad Athletic Club of Morocco 3-2 on aggregate after two legs. FIFA President Gianni Infantino has been speaking about the African Football League, where he says it is here to stay and to inspire the rest of the world.
This is what African football needs, the best playing together more often in a top professional environment. That's what we are doing with the African Football League. I'm very proud of this collaboration between FIFA and CAF. Well, I think the time has come for African club football to move to the next level, to retain some of the best players, that they don't have to go and sign contracts abroad. They can stay here and they can play in a top-level competition.
In women's football, for the third time in a row, Mamelodi Sundowns ladies will play in the final of the CAF Women's Champions League on Sunday. The South African champions have to once again come face-to-face with Sporting Club Casablanca, the same team they edged 1-0 in the group stages. Mamelodi Sundowns qualified for their third consecutive CAF Champions League final following their dispatching of AS FAR. Mamelodi Sundowns ladies assistant coach Agnes Nkosi praised the resilience of the girls in getting a victory despite the pressure on them.
It was a crucial game. The girls came to the party today. Even though it was difficult first half, but we managed to get that goal. Yeah, it was very, very, very frustrating. But as coaches, we managed to speak with the girls, to tell the girls that they must come down. They need to put the ball down. They need to They need to manage the game very well.
For their part, Sporting Club Casablanca booked their spot in the CAF Women's Champions League Cote d'Ivoire 2023 finals following a dramatic 3-2 penalty victory over Ampem Dakoa of Ghana after the two sides played out to an exciting 2-2 draw at the San Pedro Laurent Poku Stadium. In cricket news, South Africa's dismal record in the World Cup semi-finals continued at the Eden Gardens on Thursday as a loss to Australia by 3 wickets with 2.4 overs to spare, despite a magnificent heroic century by David Miller, which helped the Proteas of South Africa post a modest but competitive total of 212 after batting first. Australia breathed a huge collective sigh of relief when they eventually limped into their modest target, having made a flying start by reaching 62-0 in just 6 overs. South Africa coach Rob Walter has played down the choker's tug after their exit from the ICC Men's Cricket World Cup 2023.
Yeah, it's obviously gutting to lose a semi-final. But beyond that, you know, incredibly proud of the fight shown by the lads. I mean, there was tons of positives today, but obviously pretty bummed to not get over the line.
The final of the Cricket World Cup will be played on Sunday at the world's biggest cricket stadium in Ahmedabad. Staying with cricket news, Namibia's Capricorn Eagles are gearing up for the 2023 ICC Women's T20 World Cup Africa qualifier, which will be held in Uganda in December. This tournament serves as a qualification process for the 2024 ICC Women's T20 World Cup. The team has been diligently preparing for the upcoming qualifier, including participating in the Dubai tournament as part of their preparations. The Capricorn Eagles will compete against Botswana, Kenya, Nigeria, Tanzania, Uganda, and Zimbabwe. Coach Francois van der Meer and Captain Irene van Zyl expressed confidence in the team's training progress and their understanding of the conditions they will encounter in Uganda.
In Africa, we play against these teams quite a lot, but women's cricket overall in Africa has improved immensely. So there's going to be no easy games. If you just look at the Zimbabweans, they will always be there. They've got a really good side, test-playing nation. And then you've got Uganda, Tanzania, Rwanda's up there. So all these countries is improving every single day.
Uganda is going to be a bit of a different situation. I mean, the wickets might not be as quick. The grounds are, the outfield is a bit more bumpier. So it's a different scenario than playing in Dubai. There's always a few things that you can work on, and that's what we're busy ironing out. Here and there, something small that a bowler can work on or a batsman can just fine-tune.
And finally, in athletics, the marathon world record holder, Kenya's Kelvin Kiptum, has been shortlisted for the Men's 2023 World Athletes of the Year Award. World Athletics have listed Kiptum among the top 5 athletes who have made it from a pool of 11 athletes that have been nominated for the prestigious award. The winner will be announced on World Athletics platform on the 11th of December.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale reporting from Abuja, Nigeria.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 0905 and 2005 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm sure South African cricket fans are disappointed over their national team not reaching the Cricket World Cup final, but South African rugby fans can still rejoice in their beloved Springboks once again lifting the Rugby World Cup trophy. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, Myron Naika looks back on the big victory by the Springboks.
Lit up in the colours of the South African flag, the iconic Eiffel Tower illuminated the Paris night sky in honour of the Springboks. the 2023 Rugby World Cup final will go down as one of the greatest matches in the tournament's long history. It had the makings of an epic as two of the sport's greatest rivals collided, and it certainly lived up to its billing. For 80 minutes, the Springboks and All Blacks threw everything at each other. It would be an evening of fine margins. The box goal kicking powered by Andre Pollard was the deciding factor as his four successful penalties handed South Africa victory. South African president Cyril Ramaphosa was at the match and lifted the trophy alongside captain Siyamthanda Kolisi.
It still hasn't sunk in.
No.
It is huge.
It's not just any win, it's a historic win.
It is huge. Yeah, it is unreal.
South Africa won all three of their knockout matches by a single point. The margins were indeed fine, as South Africa got the better of France, England and the All Blacks en route to the title. Springbok coach Jacques Nedeba says the team was inspired by South African supporters who found a way to get to France, as well as those back home.
Probably for our fans, for South Africa, I wish I could show you the amount of messages and videos and what was going on in South Africa. I think there were 62 million people that united, from small farming communities opening up showgrounds, that people from all walks of life could go in, and the entrance fee was whatever you want to donate, and people bought T-shirts, green T-shirts for everyone. So we felt every single little bit of energy they gave us, and I think in the last three games with 3 1-point victories, we needed that, and that drove us.
All Blacks coach Ian Foster paid homage to the Springboks before heaping praise on his squad.
Heck of a final. It's always high emotion, both sides of the fence in a final, and this will be no different. 12-11, and I just firstly want to congratulate South Africa on what they've achieved. They've showed a lot of character and tenacity through this tournament. That's three close games that they've come out the right side, so they're doing something right. So congratulations to them on a magnificent tournament. For us, it's heartbreaking, and I looked at the effort of our team and the way we played and came back and gave ourselves a really good crack at that in that second half, particularly with the red card in the first half and the sort of the damage that that decision made. So overall, incredibly proud of our team, but we've got a pretty disappointed shed.
It was a frantic encounter at times, with the referee Wayne Barnes dishing out a number of cards. All Blacks captain Sam Kane was shown a red card early in the first half, while Siya Kolisi and Cheslin Kolbe were yellow carded in the second half. Kane says his team left everything out there.
It's hard because you're feeling so much hurt, but at the same time you're so proud of the group and how they fought back and really gave themselves a good shot at winning that game. So I think it speaks volumes of the group as a whole. They're a fantastic group of men who care so much about playing for the All Blacks. They care so much about making New Zealand proud. So, as Fozzie said, there's a lot of heartbreak in the sheds right now. And
South African captain Siya Kolisi became only the second man to lead a team to two World Cup titles after New Zealand's Richie McCaw. In the post-match news conference, Kolisi highlighted the socio-economic issues in South Africa and said his team was inspired to make a positive change.
What brings us together is our country. What brings us together to play for is the Springbok and then South Africa. And that's what has been driving us. That's honestly that's been driving. And I can't explain it to you in words. You need to be a South African to understand. You need to come to South Africa and see it. It's a beautiful country with a lot of problems, but once we come together, and we've come together a lot before for a common goal, and I promise you nothing can stop us as a country. And it's not just in sport, it's in life in general.
For the sunny side of sports, I'm Myron Nyka in Durban, South Africa.
And that wraps up the November 17th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you have a nice and sporty weekend.
I get it.
I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.